following program contains graphic material, including offensive language. Viewer discretion is advised.
Without freedom of the press, no democratic form of government could exist.
We switch you now to London.
I'm standing on a rooftop looking out over London.
Good night and good luck.
Good evening from our CBS newsroom in New York.
NBC presents Chet Huntley and David Brinkley.
From ABC, this is World News Tonight with Peter Jennings in London, Max Robinson in Chicago, and from our desk in Washington, Frank Reynolds.
Good evening.
This historic legislation, the telecommunications law, will create many, many high wage jobs, will create opportunity and better lives for all Americans.
When the press is free, the people of a country are free. When the press is not free, the people of a country are in danger of slavery.
Keeping you informed with information, news, and the views of people making the news. It's the Nicole Sandler Show on NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
All right. We get the new week started with a funny little ditty from Lauren Mayer. Take it away, Lauren. Started on this Tuesday. It's the day we begin our week here at the Nicole Sandler Show. Yes, major props coming from the YouTube chat room. Lauren Mayer, she's got a great YouTube channel. Just look for Lauren Mayer, M-A-Y-E-R, and you'll find she needs better miking. And yes, as somebody in there said, she may not be as like flashy as Randy Rainbow, but she's seriously talented too. So I am fortunate that we have these wonderfully creative people who think like we do and put out some funny stuff to at least get us started at the beginning of each show with a laugh or two before we get into the truly ridiculous shit. And today, again, there's so much about this idiot, the resident, because he's the resident in the White House. He's not the president. He's just the resident. And he's over in England being feted with a state visit. It's just, the whole thing is absurd. Have you seen the clothes that these people wore to their dinner last night? Oh my God. I'd be embarrassed if I wasn't getting a good giggle out of it, because you look, and I didn't pull any to put up on the YouTube. I probably should have. I can probably grab one pretty quickly. Okay, here. I've got one. Actually, the picture that I'm looking at now that I'm about to post up on, we'll put up on the YouTube feed anyway, is the Trump, Trump, hold on. No, I got to save it. Trump offspring. It's truly, I don't know if this is going to work or not. They are the ugliest clothes I've ever seen. And for people who ostensibly have money and can afford to be dressed by the best, boy, it didn't show. Now, the picture I'm about to put up, sadly, does not include Donald himself, Mr. Dump himself. But you've all seen him enough in his white tie and tails, where his vest was extended way far below the, it's like his tie is always too long. Oh my God. You got to figure that whoever is dressing him, really has it in for him, because otherwise they wouldn't send him out there looking like that. Now here's the lovely picture. If you're watching on YouTube, here's the family shot. You see Don Jr., and good old Eric too. Now Don Jr., I don't know what's with the beard, but both he and Eric have the facial growth, which, yeah, they look ridiculous. That's, I guess, Eric's wife wearing the strapless thing while she's pregnant. Not a great look, but I think if I recall from my, you know, royal etiquette lessons that I never took, I think the strapless is frowned upon. I think they're told that they should have sleeves. Tiffany's there. Who knew? Tiffany's there. Also with an off-the-shoulder kind of look and some rented jewels around her neck. But the best is this thing that Ivanka is wearing. This it looks like a stonewashed denim that she used what's the thing that you bling something up with? I can't even think of what it's called. You know, that the people make shirts and stuff with, the bling attacher. Anyway, I'd be embarrassed if I didn't get a good laugh out of these pictures of this family of grifters who's just in Great Britain. So anyway, they this morning. God, how time flies. This morning there was a press conference, but with Donald Trump and Theresa May after their meeting. You know, and Dump, of course, insulted everybody in the group. But one thing that I found astounding was how he keeps lying. Again, this has no bearing on anything political. Bedazzled. Thank you, Mastermind. Ivanka bedazzled her denim dress all by herself. That's the word I was looking for. I was drawing a mental blank for good reason, because don't ever get a bedazzler near me. Anyway, so as part of this press conference today, Trump was asked about the the fact that there were protesters out in force. Let me see. No protesters. Okay. So here's his part of the question that he addressed, the question from one of the reporters about the protesters who are out in force in London today.
As far as the protests, I have to tell you, because I commented on it yesterday, we left the Prime Minister, the Queen, the royal family. There were thousands of people on the streets cheering.
Yeah, there were. No, they weren't cheering.
Even coming over today, there were thousands of people cheering.
Yeah, no, not
and
cheering.
And then I heard that there were protests. I said, where are the protests? I don't see any protests. I did see a small protest today when I came, very small. So a lot of it is fake news, I hate to say. But you saw the people waving the American flag, waving your flag. It was
tremendous
spirit and love. There was great love. There was an alliance. I didn't see the protesters until just a little while ago, and it was a very, very small group of people put in for political reasons.
Fake news. It was small group. Very, very small group of people put in for political purposes. It was fake news. There were just people there who loved me. They loved me. It was an alliance. Well, Richard Engel is NBC's chief foreign correspondent. He was there, and this is his report.
So we're actually now in Parliament Square. We've been moving with the protesters who started at Trafalgar Square and have been circulating through downtown London. Listening to President Trump, it sounds like he has been in a different city than we have been in. We have not seen thousands of people out on the streets welcoming President Trump. That sounded to be somewhat delusional. Instead, we have seen thousands of people who have been quite actively, quite boisterously expressing their opposition to President Trump. They say they don't want him here. They are upset that the British government has rolled out the red carpet.
Yeah.
And there are many different groups that have come together on the streets. There are women's rights groups. There are environmental groups. There are people who support Palestinian rights. But they are all coming together with one message, in that they do not support President Trump. And the reason we heard so much British politics today is that this country is very much at a crossroads. It can either stay in the European Union, or it can have this Brexit option, and they see President Trump there offering a different path. Leave the EU, continue on Brexit, and make this trade deal with President Trump. And people who've been on the streets here say they just don't trust this president for the future of the United Kingdom.
All right, Richard Engel.
I don't trust this president for the future of anything. So I don't want to mislead you. There were some pro-Trump demonstrators out there. Estimates say they were outnumbered about 100-1. But one of them did get to the balloon, the big Donald Trump diaper-clad baby. You know, the baby. You know, the Donald Trump baby. Oh, I thought I had him saying, I'm not a baby. Handy, I don't. This woman stabbed the baby and let the air out of the balloon. It was like a giant fart that all of London could hear. But yeah, so she stabbed the dump diaper baby, and I believe was arrested for her troubles. But anyway, so there were some, protesters out there, but those he would not have seen because they were vastly outnumbered or supporters vastly outnumbered by the protesters. This is Donald Trump in a nutshell. I've been using the term for years, opposite world.
Welcome to Opposite World, where in is out and up is down. Brought to you by Honorable Speaker of the House, Little Johnny Boner. And his really big gavel.
See, that shows you how long I've been talking about opposite world, but we've had to update it. It's still opposite world.
Facts no longer matter. Reality is now fiction. There's a signpost up ahead. Your next stop, opposite world.
So I look at, Donald Trump's unbelievable habitual lying. He is a prolific liar. I got to tell you, I read a lot of opinion columnists. I'm not usually a big Dana Milbank fan over at the Washington Post. But when I'm looking at this man, this idiot, the resident, the orange menace, Colt 45, who is over there in Great Britain right now, and hearing him lie straight to the camera. And it wasn't only about that. Here's another story. Trump tells demonstrable lies in front of entire world during international press conference. And this article doesn't even mention the lie about, the supporters there and no protesters in sight. But he lied in this press conference this morning about that he has record approval among Republicans. Apparently, he said He was asked about the possibility that congressional Republicans might block his most recent threatened tariffs against Mexico. And he said, I don't think they will do that. If they do, it's foolish. And then he went on to add, I've had tremendous Republican support. I have a 90%, 94% approval rating as of this morning in the Republican Party. That's an all-time record. Can you believe it? Isn't that something? I love records. But we have a 94% approval rating in the Republican Party. Well, actually, no, you don't, you big fat liar. Toronto Star's Daniel Dale noted in real time, Trump's actual approval rating among Republicans is not 94% and never has been. While former President George W. Bush repeatedly reached 99% among Republicans following the terrorist attacks of September 11th, Trump was also asked for his impressions on Brexit and could not resist making a familiar boast. Here's his quote.
Well, I don't like to position in things. I don't like to take positions in things that I'm not really. I understand the issue very well. I really predicted what was going to happen. Some of you remember that prediction.
Oh, shut up. God, even reading his voice is annoying. But the fact of the matter is, he is such a liar that I really don't. I don't think he knows what the dividing line is anymore. And as I said, I don't usually read Dana Milbank, but his the op-ed that he published yesterday in the Washington Post was perfect to make this example come to life. The headline reads, Americans must accept that none of these things ever happened. Okay. Oh, no, he didn't, is how this starts. Dana Milbank writes, I believe President Trump when he says,
I never called Meghan Markle nasty.
I believe him, even though Britain's Sun newspaper published an interview with Trump the day before in which he referred to the Duchess of Sussex with that very word. And even though the Sun has a recording. Likewise, I believe Trump when he visited Britain last year and said,
I didn't criticize the prime minister.
Even though the Sun also had a recorded interview of him that time criticizing Prime Minister Theresa May. And I'm fully prepared to believe Trump tomorrow if he says,
I never called Sadiq Khan a stone cold loser.
Even though Trump, landing in Britain on Monday, called the London mayor just that in a tweet that misspelled Khan's name and also mocked him for being short. I believe all this and more because the alternative is unthinkable, that our great nation inflicted on the world a president who is, well, a stone-cold loser, boorish, and ignorant. Therefore, I plan to do as Trump does, live today as if yesterday never happened. But it's not enough to imagine away this week's name-calling. To preserve national dignity, Americans must accept that none of the following ever happened. You ready? Trump did not shove the Prime Minister of Montenegro, and he didn't declare that he
fell in love
with the dictator of North Korea. He didn't hang up on the Australian Prime Minister, nor attack the Pope on Twitter. He didn't use a phony accent to imitate the Indian Prime Minister, nor make fun of Chinese leaders' eyewear. He didn't refer to African nations and Haiti as, quote, shithole countries. At no time did Trump confuse the Baltics with the Balkans. Never did he tastelessly comment on the French First Lady's body. He certainly did not invent the country of Namibia, nor did he boast about selling Norway a fighter jet that only exists in a computer game. He didn't mispronounce Nepal as nipple. No. Under no circumstance did Trump assert that, quote,
there is no longer a nuclear threat from North Korea.
Nor did he believe North Korea's dictator over Japan's prime minister. He most definitely did not land in Israel and announce, quote,
we just got back from the Middle East.
He didn't skip a visit to a U.S. military cemetery in France because of a little rain. He didn't accept Vladimir Putin's word over that of U.S. intelligence. And when told, do not congratulate Putin on his rigged election victory, he did not congratulate. He didn't refer to Brussels as a hellhole, nor assert, oh God, I lost my place. Sorry. Oh my God. I just lost my place in the, okay. All right, I'm finding my place again. Sorry about that. I got so carried away. All right, he didn't refer to Brussels as a hellhole, nor assert that, quote, Belgium is a beautiful city. And spelling the British Prime Minister's name as that of a British porn actress? Never happened. His administration didn't confuse Singapore with Indonesia and China with Taiwan, nor misidentify the Australian Prime Minister, nor misspell Denmark. Not once did Trump vow to, quote, promote the possibility of lasting peace in the Middle East. Trump simply did not advise the French to dump water on Notre Dame Cathedral from the sky, nor did he claim that Finland avoids fire by raking forests. He didn't fabricate trade figures in talks with the Canadian Prime Minister. Neither did he falsely accuse South Africa of large-scale killing of farmers, nor volunteer any thoughts ever on what happened last night in Sweden. Mm-hmm. Trump, furthermore, did not sign the guest book at Israel's Holocaust Memorial with the words, so amazing. He didn't pull his name from a group of seven communique. He didn't take a limousine and a golf cart instead of walking with other world leaders at summits. He didn't struggle with a group hand-holding exercise in Manila. His knuckles didn't whiten in the grip of Emmanuel Macron, and Melania Trump did not swat his hand away on the tarmac in Tel Aviv. Furthermore, Trump did not reveal secret intelligence to Russia. He didn't accuse Germany of being totally controlled by Russia. He didn't taunt the French over street protests, attack the idea of NATO, use an all-caps tweet to threaten Iran with annihilation, hail fantastic strongmen, nor pine for the reign of Muammar Gaddafi. Fortunately, Dana Milbank writes and concludes in the Washington Post, it has all been a misunderstanding. For if an American president had actually done even a fraction of the above, it would be an indelible national disgrace. Yeah. Wow. Again, it's opposite world. None of those things ever happen. Welcome to Gaslit America. All right. We'll take a quick time out. We'll check in with today's edition of What's News and then get Gotta Laugh on the line because we got a lot of shit to shoot today. Stick around. It is the Nicole Sandler Show right here at NicoleSandler.com and on the Progressive Voices Network. Not doing it live today.
It's time for Nicole Sandler's What's News from NicoleSandler.com and the Progressive Voices Network.
Donald Trump is continuing his three-day state visit to the UK on Tuesday. The giant orange balloon shaped like Trump wearing a diaper, which the president complained made him feel unwelcome during a trip there last year, has once again taken flight outside the British Parliament as the second day of the president's state visit gets underway. Trump went nowhere near the balloon last time, but Bloomberg News' Alex Morales reports, despite his claim that he's seen thousands of supporters and virtually no protesters, the president's motorcade drove past the inflatable flying over Parliament Square on Tuesday on his way to visit Prime Minister Theresa May at 10 Downing Street. Thousands of people are expected to take to the streets of London on Tuesday in the biggest organized protests against Trump's visit. Protests will be led by the leader of the opposition Labour Party, Jeremy Corbyn, who said Monday that it will give Brits an opportunity, quote, to stand in solidarity with those he's attacked in America, around the world, and in our own country, including just this morning, Sadiq Khan. Trump called Khan, the mayor of London, a, quote, stone-cold loser, in a tweet Monday morning as he landed in London. Of course, Mayor Khan had something to say about Trump in return.
We disagree with him, surely, about his policy to ban Muslims from certain countries. Surely we disagree with his policy to separate children from their parents on the Mexican border. Surely we think it's wrong when he amplifies the tweets from racists in this country. And surely we should be saying, listen, you know, you do realize you're a poster boy for the far-right movement around the world, from Hungary to Italy, France to the UK. And also we should be saying, you know what, we think we face a climate emergency. We think you made a mistake walking away from the Paris Climate Change Accord. Will you think about coming back? Can we persuade you to come back? And I could go on. And my point is, Theresa May is so weak as a prime minister And our government is so scared that it wouldn't say boo to a goose. And I think that's wrong.
As of this taping, the building crowds have set off on a protest march throughout central London. Crowds are streaming from Trafalgar Square towards the Houses of Parliament, where the Trump baby blimp has been flying. Signs reading "No to racism, no to Trump" are being waved by several protesters who are chanting "Donald Trump's not welcome here." Several protesters are also waving EU flags and making clear their opposition to Brexit and Trump, which they see as aligned political forces. But the standout feature of the march this year is a 16-foot robot depiction of Trump sitting on a golden toilet and tweeting, which is being pushed along the route by the protesters. As it moves, the robot repeats slogans, including, "I'm a very stable genius, no collusion," and "You are the fake news." Monday night was the big state banquet with members of the royal family. Twitter went into meltdown mode after photos of the first family in their ridiculous state dinner attire went viral. It is worth looking at. As for the tradition of gift giving, Prime Minister Theresa May presented Trump with a copy of the Atlantic Charter. Now, the gift raised eyebrows as it highlights the shared history of the United States and the United Kingdom as global allies after Trump rejected the idea of globalism. And after no red carpet awaiting Trump at the airport and no crowds lining the streets to welcome him, the Queen gave Trump her gift. An abridged version of Winston Churchill's Second World War in a tacky red and gold binding. Most observers viewed that as a very clever insult. The president's son-in-law, Jared Kushner, is part of Trump's reported 1,000-person entourage accompanying him on the trip. Before he left, Kushner sat for a rare interview with Axios' Jonathan Swan, who actually acted as a journalist asking follow-up questions.
Set off at least some alarm bell when you see an email saying that the Russian government wants to help the campaign.
Like I said, the email that I got on my iPhone at the time basically said show up at 4. I didn't scroll down. I never would have thought about that.
It had Russia in the subject line.
Again, I would get about 250 emails a day. And so I literally saw show up at 4. I showed up at 4.
But, would you call the FBI if it happened again?
I don't know. It's hard to do hypotheticals. But the reality is that we were not given anything that was salacious.
And then there was this question.
Was birtherism racist?
Look, I wasn't really involved in that.
I know you weren't.
What?
Mm-hmm. Was it racist?
Like I said, I wasn't involved in that.
Oh, my God.
I know you weren't.
Mm-hmm.
Was it racist?
Look, I know who the president is, and I have not seen anything in him that is racist. So, again, I was not involved in
Unbelievable.
That.
Did you wish he didn't do that?
Like I said, I was not involved in that. That was a long time ago.
Planned Parenthood is back in a St. Louis courtroom on Tuesday in a lawsuit that may determine whether Missouri's last abortion clinic can remain open or whether the state will become the first in the country without one. And finally, it's been 30 years since the Tiananmen Square massacre. On June 4th, 1989, hundreds of pro-democracy demonstrators in and around Beijing's Tiananmen Square were killed in a government crackdown. The anniversary will be commemorated around the world, but not in China, where not only is CNN silenced, but all mention of the massacre is censored. And that's just a bit of what's news for now. I'm Nicole Sandler. If you appreciate these reports and the Nicole Sandler Show, I hope you'll consider making a contribution. My work is 100% listener supported, and I can't do it without your help. Find out more at NicoleSandler.com/donate.
This is a huge, huge issue.
And we're talking about it. The Nicole Sandler Show on Progressive Voices and NicoleSandler.com.
And now, it's time for the Nicole Sandler Show segment, Shooting the Shit with Laffy.
Yay! It is that time of the week again. Every Tuesday, we get together with our pal Gotta Laugh to, like he said, shoot the shit about the news, and there's a lot of shit flinging today. So let's wait no longer and get Laffy on the line. Hello?
Well, yes, you've reached the Pelosi Should Get On Board for Impeachment Hotline.
Oh, yeah, baby. Okay.
Press 1 if you think Pelosi won't call for impeachment inquiry hearings until Trump shows his long-form wait certificate. Press 2 if you think Pelosi won't call for impeachment hearings until she sees Pence volunteer to bake a cake for a gay wedding. Press 3 if you think Pelosi won't call for impeachment hearings until Mueller pinky swears that he already found Trump a cellmate who was a gay, black, Muslim, Mexican, Iranian, transgender CNN reporter.
Ooh, that would be good. I'd pay to see that.
She's not doing that. What? Oh, God. Does she not? I mean, she knows the clock is ticking and she knows what that means.
Yep. You know, Howie Klein was here on Thursday, as he is on most Thursdays. And he was, you know, because he's got the ears of a lot of, you know, the progressive members of Congress. And he's had this conversation. Yeah. Apparently a lot more. I think the official count of the whip list is now up to something like 57. He said it's much, much higher than that. But they're not all obviously on the record. Right. And the problem is that Nancy Pelosi is not trying to corral them into doing impeachment. She is pushing them against it. And they are slowly but surely all coming to that conclusion on their own. And there was a big boost in it when they all went home last week to their districts. And many of them had did town halls and many of them, you know, got a lot of calls from constituents. And they're hearing the will of the people. That the people want it. But this is Nancy Pelosi. She did the shit back in the 90s with George W. Bush. I'm sorry, in the early 2000s. When she, before she even became speaker, before she ever had the gavel in her hand, she was already saying about Bush, about W, impeachment's off the table. Well, you know what? This is an even more precarious situation. This is a president who is thumbing his nose at the rule of law, at the Constitution, about all the principles that this country was founded on. And if they don't see that as impeachable, as something requiring impeachment, then nothing requires impeachment. It's the old, if not now, when?
Oh, no, they see it. She knows that it's impeachment worthy. She has said as much. But the problem is she's thinking politically instead of constitutionally.
Yeah.
And that's a big problem.
Yep.
Because this politics should have, I don't want to say nothing to do with it. Politics does have something to do with this, of course. But the real reason for holding, and it's impeachment inquiry hearings, you don't just go straight to an up and down vote.
Of
you don't just
not.
Say how many want him to impeach. Here's the articles. Yep. Let's go. It's not like that. And that's, I believe, why they're holding these hearings coming up next week, I believe, where John Dean is going to be one of the people speaking.
Well, these are their initial hearings that are impeachment hearings, excuse me, without calling them impeachment hearings.
Right.
It arose
right. Where
by
they,
any
where they
other
lay
word.
Out a narrative, and that's what needs to be done. They need to lay out a clear, loud, organized narrative about what impeachment means, why it's important to do, and what how many ways has Trump deserved impeachment and does still deserve impeachment because he continues to obstruct. So I suppose that's what they're doing, although they're already getting, I mean, I understand they're also having a bunch of the lawyers who signed that letter. You know, there's like 1,000 attorneys
now,
and stuff.
There are two groups. Yeah, this is the first one, the one that Robert De Niro narrated a video of many of them. It's now numbers in near 1,000.
Well, that was Republican lawyers, too.
That's the other one I'm talking about.
Oh, okay.
The original one were U.S. attorneys.
U.S. attorneys,
Federal prosecutors, former, you know, federal agents who have all come forth from both parties.
Right.
That was the first one. The second one just came out the other day. Republicans for the Rule of Law, I think, is the name of their group.
Right.
And they released this other video. I've got it here if you wanted to hear it.
And also there's a bunch of more progressive groups that are now, excuse me, are now trying to pressure Pelosi directly.
Uh-huh.
And Congress. But you can definitely play that. That would be wonderful. Go for it.
All right. So this is, again, these are former Republicans, or they're actually still Republicans. They're the video will tell you who they are. Let me just play it and
we'll
take it from there.
Yeah.
This administration, in my view, has an absolute disregard for the law.
The Mueller report makes a very strong case on obstruction of justice.
Were the president anybody other than the president, he would have been subject to indictment.
My name is Jeffrey Harris.
My name is Paul Rosenzweig.
My name is Donald Ayer.
I was the Deputy Associate Attorney General in the Reagan administration.
I was a Republican appointee at the Department of Homeland Security.
And I served as Deputy Attorney General under George H.W. Bush. In the Mueller report, there is a damning case of obstruction of justice by the president.
Obstruction of justice is any act to interfere with an investigation being conducted.
Immediately after the president takes office, he begins to interfere in the Russian investigation. The first thing he does is he tries to influence the head of the FBI, James Comey, in asking him to go easy on Michael Flynn. And when that doesn't work out, he fires James Comey. You then had very shortly thereafter the appointment of the special counsel, Robert Mueller. The president then actively involved himself in trying to prevent Mueller from becoming the special counsel and then ultimately to be removed.
The most notable obstructive act was the president's instruction to his White House counsel, Don McGahn, to fire Mr. Mueller.
McGahn refused to do it. And then the president
asked Don McGahn to put a false document in the file saying that the president never ordered him to fire Bob Mueller.
Asking a witness to lie to create a false record is a classic case of obstruction of justice.
One of the most disturbing things to me is the conduct of Republicans. They know that there is a damning case in the Mueller report of obstruction of justice by the president, and they are acting like it's not.
Conservatives are all about conserving history, conserving morality, conserving the country. If you really believe in those sorts of principles, now is the time to put your principles first. It's not a time to sit silent.
So there you go. The Republicans for the rule of law put that together. As Stephanie Simpson says in the YouTube chat room, that needs to be on TV on a 24/7 loop.
I was just thinking that. Thank
yep.
you, Stephanie.
Yeah,
I was
no
just
kidding, right?
thinking that.
But
yes.
This group, the other thing they did was they delivered, I believe yesterday, to every Republican member of Congress, with the exception of Justin Amash, because he already knows this, a copy mm-hmm. of the Mueller report with the key areas, the key findings highlighted to make it easier for them. I mean, they're right. really this is what needs to be done.
Right. And it's good that that gets press and attention. Mm-hmm. But what is also getting attention and not in the best way is the fact that they are doing these sort of, I don't want to say mock impeachment hearings, but these, you know, impeachment junior with John Dean, they are getting a little bit of a ribbing, like, oh, you can't do the real thing, so you're going to do this. Yes, this is a good preamble. It warms people up. It tells a story. But until you hear from the witnesses themselves, until you, just like with Mueller, until you hear the words come out of their mouths and tell their story. And yes, he told me to do this. Trump said I should lie. Trump said I should obstruct. Then people are still left with 400 and something pages that they haven't read yet. And they don't care.
Right. No, they don't.
It has to be painted for them.
Yeah. The laziness is astounding. How someone could be elected to the office of representative of the U.S. Mm-hmm. House of Representatives and not believe that is their responsibility to read the damn thing at least once, if not more, right. Is just astounding. But so many of them are just lazy. They just want to
even go. Even Barr didn't read the entire thing. He didn't read the. What was it called? The underlying
evidence.
Whatever.
Right.
Evidence. Yeah.
Yep.
He read the report, but he didn't read the underlying. Do you want to go to Tweety's? Because I've got some to talk about. And
sure.
We might springboard off of that.
Okay, let's do it. Let's let loose the birdies.
The birds.
Let loose
Welcome
the birds.
Welcome to my tweet spot.
And just for good measure, just for the hell of it.
Trump is a fucking idiot.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Lindsay. Yeah.
Who was that?
Lindsey Graham.
Was that him?
Oh, yeah.
I remember that now.
Yeah, it was during the hearing. He was reading someone else's words. But, hey, I'm not above using something out of context.
Trump is
well,
a
they do it
idiot.
All the time. Why
yes,
shouldn't we?
Of course. There you go.
Well, speaking of impeachment, CNN tweeted, top House Democrat, we can move on impeachment once the public is on our side. And Charlie Pierce said, God forbid we try to get the public on our side first,
uh-huh,
ahead of time, mm-hmm, like we were just talking about. Mm-hmm. You don't like it. If you see a cop doesn't watch a bank robber and then arrest him and say, you know, no, never mind, I'm not going to arrest you because you know what? You may not get convicted
right
in a trial.
Or even better than that, you didn't get away with anything. You didn't get any money. It doesn't matter that you held up the bank
and you tried
to get into the vault to rob it, but you're bumbling idiocy, you couldn't get that far and you fucked it up, doesn't mean they're going to let you go. You're still arrested for attempted robbery.
Exactly. Exactamente.
Yeah.
Okay, so yesterday, this was from yesterday, but I'm including it today because it's still ongoing. I was watching the telly and I was watching Trump and they were showing just endless footage of Trump with the Queen and Trump with this one and that one and the family, you know, all the English stuff. And it was a big bunch of photo ops, right? So I know my dog Hamilton was watching Trump on TV.
Oh no!
And he barked at him and turned away. So I said MSNBC would be wise to do the same, mm-hmm, instead of nonstop coverage of his UK visit at the expense of all the other news that was going on at that time yesterday. And then I went on to say, quote, this is from it was an MSNBC commentator, I don't remember who it was, this has been a tremendous photo op for Trump in terms of imagery, impeccable so far, impeccable. And then it went on where they started to use the word stately while describing his trip.
Oh my God.
At that point I turned off the TV for the entire day. I couldn't watch until like nighttime.
Uh-huh.
I was furious. I was absolutely, I mean, today they're being critical. Today the coverage is what you would expect it to be because Trump has spoken and he's done a lot of things, you know. But yesterday it was one big, fat, long kiss and it made me sick.
It is amazing. I think that the commentators bend over backwards to try to appear fair to this dolt, this idiot who is masquerading as a head of state. It doesn't make sense. And that's why, look, I get that she's a Republican and I don't agree with her on policy, but we've talked about this before. I'm impressed with Nicole Wallace. I actually like her show because she lets the exasperation come out. She lets her just total disbelief of the idiocy of this man, the total, disconnect between, you know, what is and what should be. She doesn't try to do the false equivalency thing. She doesn't try to put forth we can't just dump on him all the time. We've got to be, try to make it appear that we're giving him the coverage that a president warrants. He doesn't warrant that kind of coverage because he doesn't deserve it.
Right. She's honest about her feelings. She gets out there and blasts people when they deserve it. Doesn't matter, mm-hmm, who they are. And she has her Republican status on hold. She calls herself a non-practicing Republican. So, you know, she still is a Republican, but she's the type that has a conscience. She's the type that has ethics. And she'll, or at least most of the time, you know, like she was a John McCain person, but,
yep,
but you know, she is completely never Trump and doesn't hesitate to express herself.
Right.
So
yep,
it's refreshing. And she has good panels, even though most of them are Republicans and they drive me nuts, but,
right,
but she has good panels.
Me too. I hate the makeup of the guests there, but she said, I think she shows her exasperation, her utter disbelief of the depth to which this idiot has sunken not only the nation, but the presidency.
Right. Okay, so moving on to a different subject, Ari Berman.
Yeah.
We love Ari Berman. He tweeted yesterday, census case looking more and more like Muslim ban. One, clearly discriminatory policy. 2, Trump officials lied about true purpose. 3, evidence undercuts it. And 4, the Supreme Court conservative majority still poised to uphold.
Yeah.
We're in trouble. We're in big,
we are
fat
in big trouble.
Yeah. There's it's as bad.
No question about that. I'm really scared for everything that's going on. There were a couple of stories that I reported on last week, one of which that I'm still surprised that I haven't seen more about it. But the Trump administration is about to reexamine our stance on human rights.
Yes.
Oh, my God.
Yes.
Let these guys decide. These guys who don't stand up for human rights on a global scale with a president who salutes and falls in love with dictators like Kim Jong-un and Duterte and Erdogan and Putin. I mean, it is frightening.
I know. Everything they're doing, they're destroying not just this country, but they're breaking up Europe. They're allowing Putin to get what he wants in Europe. They're allowing the Nazis to do their thing in Europe. Steve Bannon is helping that proactively.
Unbelievably.
It's not just here. It's not that slow anymore. A creep of white nationalism, white supremacy, Nazism, and Russian wet dreams, basically. Yeah. Coming to light. It's yeah. horrible.
It really is.
Oh, my God. Okay, so this is what we were discussing a little just a second ago. More than 24 liberal groups voiced frustration with Pelosi. This is from the Washington Post. Urge impeachment proceedings against Trump. And it just goes on to say it in a strongly worded letter. They let the House Speaker know what they feel.
Good.
So that is a good thing. We need a lot of that.
Well, what we need is everyone still, I mean, every day, call your member of Congress. We're not talking about the Senate right now. The Senate comes in later. Right now, we need your House member, your one congressman. That's who you need to call and call every day.
Right. Mine lives up my block, in fact.
Yeah, I know.
So I keep hoping I see her again so I can just talk to her about it. But
good luck.
I have written to her. So that's something. Mm-hmm. Eli Honig, who is with CNN, a legal analyst, he said, weak response by Nadler, essentially, quote, we aren't happy, but we'll see how things go. This is, by the way, about Natasha Bertrand's tweet saying that Nadler said, as part of the president's Trump continued obstruction of Congress, the White House has instructed both Hope Hicks and Annie Donaldson not to turn over records in response to subpoenas issued by our committee last month.
Yeah.
So he's saying weak response. And then he said, rewrite. Quote, this is how he would rewrite it. We get it. The White House is blocking everything. Now we'll take these subpoenas and all others to court immediately for expedited rulings, which we are confident will win.
Mm-hmm.
It's exactly what he should say. He should not only say it, but do it.
Do it. That's the thing. Look, I'm glad they're going to hold contempt hearings for Barr next week, but that should have happened 2 weeks ago. That should have happened immediately. When Trump
tells their votes.
Exactly.
Their votes.
Yes.
Yeah.
When Trump tells Hope Hicks or what's his name, the lawyer, whose name I can't, you know, his John Dean, the one who
McGahn.
When McGahn says, sorry, I'm not going to testify because Donald Trump told me not to, even though I no longer work for Trump, I'm a private citizen. That day, a subpoena should have been issued immediately. I don't know what the fuck they're waiting for.
I know. I don't get it either. I wish somebody would. Every time you get somebody on TV trying to explain it, you know, one of the Congress people.
Yep.
It's the same old runaround. You don't get a straight answer. It's more like, well, we, you know, we're doing we're following the rule of law and we're doing this in an orderly fashion and we're doing it, you know, plottingly.
Let me tell you who's been really disappointing is Ro Khanna. I
yes.
was so impressed
what happened
with him.
To him?
And he, it looks like he's, you know, his leadership role is more important right now than doing the right thing. Bernie Sanders came around and said, you know what?
Finally.
They need to open an impeachment inquiry now.
Right.
But Ro Khanna is towing the Nancy Pelosi line. I guess he's just, you know, sucking the
teeth. I don't get it.
Wants to get up there in leadership or something. I can't figure it out.
I don't understand it. Of all people. So we're going to go to something that's more amusing.
Okay.
And more amusing.
Yes.
This is entitled from the Daily Beast, when Trump tried to make the Plaza great again and didn't. As this is from Wendy Siegelman. As owner, Trump quickly began attempting to make the Plaza great again, which meant painting gold leaf on every column. Just 3 years after buying the property, Trump became the only owner in its long history to bankrupt the Plaza. It goes on. Most famous hotel was once a cultural landmark. Now it's a warren of mostly vacant condos owned by absentee billionaires. Its decline began the day Trump bought it. And finally, there are so few residents living there that when one buyer actually moved and accidentally locked herself in a garbage room while throwing out the trash, she wasn't found until the following day, as there was no one to pass by and hear her screams. That ain't good.
No, that's not good.
So by Plaza, it was great while it lasted.
Yeah, I suppose.
That's sad. That really is sad. That's such a landmark. George Conway, Kellyanne's Hubs.
I saw he had a nice thread out today, huh?
Yeah, a little three-part thread I'm going to read to you.
Okay.
He said, so I'm just going to go read it to you. I haven't done her in a long time, have I?
No.
Sarah Palin. I'm just going to go straight. I'm going to do a little fancy pageant walking and read it to you if you want me to. I think I will.
Okay.
Okay, so George Conway had to just do that. He says, so let me see if we now have this straight. After a long round of golf on Sunday, an unshowered Trump, still in golf wear, arrives virtually without warning at an evangelical Christian church in North Virginia. The White House asks the pastor to pray for Donald J. Trump, which the pastor does, but the White House lies to the public and says the prayers are for the victims of the shooting in Virginia Beach. Many in the evangelical congregation understandably take offense at Trump's political narcissistic use of their church.
You think?
And so, the pastor issues propitiative letter. Okay. Is it? I say it right?
Your guess is as good as mine.
Okay. That explained how he was blindsided and delicately acknowledged how, quote, some within our church, for a variety of valid reasons, are hurt that I made this decision, unquote, to bring Trump into the services. It's also odd.
Oh, my God. The whole thing was weird. First of all, that he would go, the first great tweets by George Conway again, but that Trump would go to this church right after his golf game. So he was still in his golf clothes. His hair was slicked back, and unbelievably so, it actually looked better than it does when he's got the poofy thing sweeping down over his forehead. It looked almost normal. But it was just sweaty because he had hat hair, and he was wearing his golf clothes. Apparently, he took the spikes off his golf shoes before he walked in the church. They were trying to spin it as he went there to pay tribute to the victims in the Virginia Beach shooting. But one news outlet noted that this had nothing to do with Virginia Beach, which is 3 hours away from the church he went to, and he never mentioned the shooting victims. This was not about that. It might have been more about Franklin Graham saying Sunday was going to be a day of prayer for Donald Trump. This whole thing is so surreal. It's just insane.
Sick. Just sick.
Yeah.
Somebody in chat, Vermont Gina, said, can Sarah talk to Ivanka? Well, Ivanka, I just want you to say hi to your daddy for me, if you would, and then... maybe we'll get together.
Oh, Ivanka, I know Ivanka's in there somewhere, and I have to ask you about the dress you wore to the state dinner the other night. How did you pick that?
Daddy gave me a bedazzler kit. I was so excited. I showed my brothers, and together we had a little dress bee. Where we all bedazzled my dress together.
Oh, it was actually it was a family. It was
a family.
Truly, truly hideous. I mean, really
thank
hideous.
You. Yeah. Oh, thank you. Thank you
so much. And Tiffany was there. I noticed.
Tiff. Tiffy is so.
Yeah.
She doesn't count. She doesn't count.
Did she stow away in the baggage hold of Air Force One?
She went under my big dress and walked on her knees as I walked along. Nobody saw her, but she wanted to be there. So that's how we let her be there.
Oh, gotcha.
She hid under my big dress. It was a little uncomfortable. Mm-hmm. Sarah, don't call him daddy next time, Sarah. Oh, sorry. Sorry, I just said your daddy. I didn't know that. Don't call him daddy.
Yeah.
Ever.
By the way, enough about the dress. What was the thing on your head while you were touring Buckingham Palace? That white thing on your head?
It was a piece of cheese. I get hungry and I nibble. Okay.
All right, good to know.
At least I wasn't interviewed like Jared was. That would have been...
Speaking of Jared, wow, he said some asinine things.
Jared isn't so bright as people think he is. I tell him not to go on TV, but he insisted.
Ah. Okay, so he said if a hostile foreign government reached out during the next campaign to try to help Trump win, he's not sure if he would call the FBI or not. What would you do, Ivanka?
I only use my phone for the occasional tweet and to get hold of my slaves in China. So I don't do those things.
I don't do that. Right. And so let me ask you the same question that was asked of your husband. Donald Trump's birtherism, is that racist?
Daddy is white. And everything he does as a white man is okay. That's not racist. That's just being white.
Oh, okay. Gotcha. Wow.
I hope I made that clear. I hope Jared will listen to me.
Abundantly.
All right. So David Walden, we could go on forever. David Walden tweeted, Mueller says he won't have anything more to say than what's in his report if he's forced to testify. Okay, I'll take it.
That's fine.
His press conference at which he said the same thing was the biggest boost for impeachment yet.
Absolutely.
You're threatening to do that again? You're on.
Do it. Just talk about what's in the report. That's what people want. You know, the movie Being There is one of my favorite movies. Shirley MacLaine.
I love that.
Peter Sellers, yes. Jersey Kaczynski book. I like to watch. Chance the Gardener, or Chauncey Gardner, whichever way you choose to look at him, he got all his news from the television. He didn't read. Donald Trump doesn't read. And I had to say, the majority of Americans don't read. But you put Mueller up on the TV telling us what is in the report, people will watch it. By the way, you mentioned the Jared thing. Donald Trump recorded an interview for Good Morning Britain over there. Do you know who hosts Good Morning Britain?
No.
Do you remember the name Piers Morgan?
Oh, God.
Yes.
Oh, no kidding.
So Piers Morgan recorded an interview with Donald Trump that will air tomorrow morning, which is actually 1 a.m. Eastern time over here. And Piers Morgan just tweeted, people who should probably tune into at GMB, which is Good Morning Britain, tomorrow, the Queen, Duke and Duchess of Sussex, Prince Charles, President Rouhani of Iran, Jeremy Corbyn, Boris Johnson, Nigel Farage, the NRA, transgender people in the U.S. military, family of John McCain, and Joe Biden.
Ooh.
Oh, I hope he went off on all of them.
Oh, my God. I've got two tweets I really want to read. One is from Richard Painter. It goes along with what you were saying just a second ago. If House Democrats refuse to even open a formal impeachment inquiry, how can they possibly run in 2020 saying that Trump's guilty of serious crimes in office? Are they trying to lose?
Yeah, they cannot is the answer. Ding, ding, ding. By the way,
exactly.
Speaking of correct answers.
Ding, 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 ding.
Yes, go ahead. Sorry.
And then the last one is Tom Gara from BuzzFeed. Mm-hmm. This is from yesterday. Miraculous quote from the pool report of Trump's visit to Westminster Abbey. Quote, he paused at the white marble slab commemorating Lord Byron, the poet politician, and asked what stone the flooring was made from.
Oh, my God. This is the master builder who knows everything about everything. He didn't know that marble was marble?
What stone is the flooring made from? Oh, and plus, that's what he cared about. That was his priority.
That
to
was
ask
it.
That.
What stone is the flooring made of?
What stone is his head made of?
God. Oh, my God.
Daddy, what stone is your head made of? And because it's like really like a funny color. And when your hair is slicked back like that, you can see the white underneath and the skin. It's not orange like the other part.
Yeah.
Daddy, you need to match your skin, Daddy.
Thank you, honey. All right. Two quick, not programming notes, just sort of notes. Number one, we, David and I, who don't have a life, and ever since at midnight went off the air on Comedy Central, we watch Jeopardy. After dinner, after we watch the news, we watch Jeopardy before we take our nightly showers. And we were bummed to see James lose yesterday. I don't know if you've been following it, but the guy's a phenomenon. And so, you know, all good things come to an end. That's number one. Number two, we went to see Rocket Man this weekend.
Oh, how was that?
Different. It was interesting. If you are a, you know, musical historian, you're going to be pissed off because Elton John did not sing Crocodile Rock at the Troubadour in his first appearance in L.A. It wasn't written yet. But it was fascinating. It was a musical. It was like Elton John meets Broadway. So, you know, but less factual than Bohemian Rhapsody, if that's possible.
Oh, okay.
So, anyway, okay. There's my report for the weekend. I have no idea what's coming up this week. I've got a lot of calls out to some really great guests, and hopefully a few of them will come through.
Well, that sounds good to me.
And that's where we are. Gotta Laugh. Find her on the Twitters, of course, at Gotta Laugh. And
that's right.
Here every Tuesday, and occasionally at laffiesplace.com at NicoleSandler.com. Thanks, Laffy. We'll see you next
Thank
time.
Thank you, too.
Okay, bye.
Okay,
and
bye-bye.
I'll see you tomorrow, too. Not quite sure who will be here with us, but somebody. We'll make it good, and we'll do it live. Thanks for listening, everyone. Keep your heads up. And call your congressman. Tell them impeach.